Our God, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news that you announced in the coming of your Son. We thank you that Jesus embodies all that is perfect and right and true. Father, that he truly is the way, the truth, and the life. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who, apart from his work, we would have nothing to do with your Son or with you. Father, we thank you for the way your Spirit works in our hearts by attending to the reading and the preaching of your word. So, Father, we give you thanks for your word, the true word that points to Christ, that points to our salvation, that comes completely and fully in him. And so, Father, we ask that you would attend your word now by your Spirit, Lord, that we wouldn't just hear them with our ears, but, Lord, that your words would sink deep into our hearts, that we would see our Savior in these pages. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 through 7. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. And at this time, Abraham, if you want to come forward. Our speaker today is Abraham Nukwai. Abraham is a divinity student with us, and we're delighted to have you here. So thanks.
Thank you. Let us start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your desire to speak to your people. You are always speaking, especially from your word. You're giving us the written word. The Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to our hearts. So pray now this will be a time that will be refreshed and renewed and hear from you in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God has called us individually to himself by the power of the Holy Spirit using the word of God through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. God has united us to himself. But God has also put us into a community of believers. There are others that he has joined to himself, and together we form a community of believers. And this community of believers, from the very beginning, has always been pressure from the outside. Forces from the outside are opposed to the community of God. And this comes whether in the form of persecution or in the form of trials in our individual lives. And it's all meant to stifle our witness, to take away the joy and the benefits that we have in our relationship with Christ. But as a community of believers, God has blessed us with resources. God has given us his grace so that we can be truly the people of God and be the witnesses that he wants us to be. And this he has done in the form of leaders amongst us. This God has done in the form of being there for one another, our individual gifts and talents. God has always used all those to equip his community so that we'll be the people he has called us to be. In the passage before us, that's what we see happening. But first, a quick background to this entire epistle that we are going through, the epistle of 1 Peter. As you may know, it was written to a group of believers who were going through difficult times. They were scattered over a wide region of area called Asia Minor, and they were being persecuted by those who did not like them by virtue of their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. And in their individual lives, as it is common to all of us living in this world, we are also faced with all kinds of problems. And so the Apostle Peter wrote this letter to them to encourage them. And in the beginning of the letter, he starts by telling them, I want you to understand who you are. You are the elect of God. You were chosen by God even before the foundation of the world, the foreknowledge of God. And God did this by sprinkling you with the blood of Christ. In other words, by sending his son, his perfect, righteous, sinless son, to die in your place so that his justice would be satisfied in Christ and he'll be able to receive us back to himself so that we'll be his people. And he tells us also that you are being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has chosen you, his son has died for you, and the Holy Spirit is sanctifying you. The Holy Spirit has united you to Christ and he's setting you apart. And he lays the foundation of their relationship with God. He lays the foundation for them to understand who they are, so that there will be no doubt as to their relationship with God. Because when you went through hard times, you always wonder, where's God? Is God really there? The God that I trusted, I put my faith in initially when I was so happy and joyous, where has he gone? So Peter is laying the foundation. There should be no doubt in your mind that you are united with God. You are God's special chosen people. And it's something that you have nothing to do with it. So that you can't get up tomorrow and feel bad about it and say, okay, maybe I'm getting all of these things. You are saved and secure in Christ. And the trials you are going through, he gives, come down from the chapter 1 all the way to the passage that we'll be looking at very briefly, laying the basis of this relationship in Christ. And you are going through hard times, and these hard times are coming to refine your faith. Like a goal, your faith is being refined. And in all this, so that you'll be able to proclaim the excellencies of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in the passage before us, he's now talking about how is this community to live? How are they to conduct themselves? So he starts by saying, submit to the leaders amongst you. The leaders are the elders among you. If you look at the gospel account or the account of the Acts of the Epistle or Apostle, there's no particular account of how churches were established in this area, Asia Minor, like you see in Ephesus, where Paul would tell Timothy, I want you to go there and stay there and appoint elders, or he would tell Titus, go to Crete and appoint elders. There's no anything like an established church there, as far as the record is concerned, for us to know that there was this organized leadership that he could ask them to submit to. However, from their midst, there were people, God in his own providence, in his own grace for his people, God has raised them up to provide leadership for them. At the beginning of the chapter, he tells the leaders how they are to shepherd God's people. Don't lead them with a strong hand. Don't be arrogant in your leadership. Now, in this portion of the passage, he's telling God's people, submit to your leaders. Because they are God's gift to you, to lead you. They may not be the civil magistrate in your midst. They may not be the people that have the authority like the society around you, but they are God's special people. Their authority comes from God. Their authority resides in God's word. Their authority does not reside in their charisma, not even their education, as important as that is. But God's spiritual leaders, or God's special people, or God's special leaders, are spiritual leaders, and they are meant to guide God's people in difficult times. Look up to them. There's a tendency for people to kick against leadership or authority, because people who are in authority have a tendency to abuse their power, to have strong hands to rule God's people or to rule any people under their rule. People have a tendency to do that. And because of that, people will resist the strong leadership, the strong hand to lead people. Like in our own country here, because we know that men are not angels. We create laws to limit their power. Because it's absolute power corrupts absolutely. And against that background, you put rules in place so that they will not step out of their bounds, even though they are always trying to do that. So there probably was this attitude of this community of believers not wanting to submit to these guys or these people God had purposely put in their midst to be their leaders. You know, just out of the sheer desire to not have any more layer of leadership over you. If you have been persecuted by the greater society, they don't like you, they're using the state power and all that, the next thing you need is somebody else to come and tell you what to do. You don't want that. And you want to kick against that. But Peter is encouraging them, these are God's people, submit to them, because they are God's representative. They are God's grace to you. Spiritual leadership resides in God Himself. Spiritual leadership resides in God's Word, what God has said. As leaders, as people who are called to be there for God's people to guide them, our power comes from what God's Word has said. Our power comes from our own submission to God Himself. And it is critical for us to assume our places as leaders, as future leaders, or as a seminary, future leaders. We have to assume our place to lead God's people, to provide direction for them. Just as back then when the God's people were being pressured, were being persecuted from within and from without, even today God's people all through the ages coming down to our time, the church is always faced with that challenge. We will maintain our witness. We will hold on to our cohesion. We will see ourselves as community, people. Not necessarily because of our similarities, natural similarities, but people who are united to one Lord, one Savior, one Word, one Spirit, one destiny, one message. Well, we remain true to that. And the enemy is always trying, either from compromise from within or from the pressure from without, to defeat the purpose of God's chosen people. And the leaders are there to provide for us, to guide us. As leaders, we have to step in to do that for the church today. But it starts with our submission to God. It starts with our authority coming from God's Word. It starts with our own walk with God. There's a guy in our Bible study who has been there for about a year now, and he doesn't go to church. I asked him, I said, why don't you go to church? Why not go to church? I encourage him to go to church. He said, no, I'll not go to church. Because I have problem with leadership in the past. Somebody that I placed before me, somebody to whom I look, abused our authority. It was some abusive relationship as a result of me trusting some leader. So I don't want to go to church and have to submit to somebody who will tell me what to do and what not to do. I'm not going there. I'm not going to church at all. But that's just a testament to this tendency sometimes to not want to submit to authority, to leaders, because people abuse their power, and people naturally just want to do their own thing. But it is not so with God's people. It should not be so with God's people. So Peter tells them, he says, submit to the elders among you. And the elders are not necessarily people who are older in terms of age. It's not necessarily people who, again, are powerful, but they are God's special people. So you have to submit to them. And he also tells them, he says, now be humble towards one another. Submit to the leaders, the elders among you. He says, now, submit to one another, or be humble toward one another. What does it mean to be humble? Well, humble means one is depending on God. One accepts their own station that God has placed them in. In God's economy, where I am is where I will remain. Because God, in His providence, has put me where I am. And my humility is expressed in my service to God's people. Be humble to one another is take the position of where God has put you, depending on God, serve one another. Serve God's people with whatever gifts God has given you. Because it's so easy, again, when you are going through hard times, when you are going through difficult times, for you to begin to blame the person next to you. For you to begin to just, maybe I dislike him. I don't like him. He says something that makes me mad. I don't agree with him. I just want to avoid him completely. Now, I'm talking about people who God sees as your brothers and sisters. People who God sees as part of one community, one body. The church. Those are the people God has called you to live with, to work with, to cry with, to laugh with. That body of believers deserves your all, your resources, your time, your talent. It's God's pride. It's God's institution. It's God's kingdom in this world. So humble yourself. Serve one another with the gifts that you have. With those things that God has given you. Whatever circumstance God has placed you in, use that. It will be difficult. But don't begin to blame other people. Or you begin to get angry at God. Well, God will humble us whether we like it or not, because by virtue of our relationship with Him, nothing can separate us from Him. But it's our attitude in this relationship. How do we behave? How do we carry out ourselves? What do we do when things are not going our way? We get angry. We get sad. We lose the joy. We lose the perspective of the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been given to us. So he said, humble yourself to one another, serve one another. Humility does not come always easily. We love humility in other people, but we ourselves find it difficult to be humble. And Peter knew a thing or two about humility. Because he walked with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was a model of humility. What Philippians said, he who was in the very nature of God did not consider it robbery to become man, to live amongst us. And in a very practical way, he taught his disciples to serve one another. So Peter is speaking from experience. He says, be there for one another. Whatever station God has placed you in, whatever gifts and talents God has given you, use it for the building up of God's kingdom, of God's people. Personally, I do most of the work at home. And to be honest with you, I don't like it. I don't like washing the dishes. I don't like cleaning the clothes, cleaning the house. But I have to depend on God to do that. Because there where my family is right now, I have to do it cheerfully. I have to do it before getting mad at my wife. Because there are other things that she's doing. And this is God's prophet. And this is something that God has to my family. So I got to accept that. And to ask God to help me to do it. To serve. And you too, in your own experience, wherever God has placed you, especially amongst God's people, do it with humility. Do it cheerfully. Do it for the good of the other person. Don't begin to blame other people. If it were not for you, I'll have a better life without you. You are the cause of me not being able to do that. Your theology, there's something that is just dividing you and myself. I just don't want to be in your midst. We can't work together. There's some reason why I can't be there the way God wants me to be. But Peter asked, finally, be humble toward one another, but also humble yourself under God's mighty hand. So in the community of believers, God himself is in their midst. If you submit to the leaders that God has placed in your midst, you are submitting to God. If you serve one another as God has called you to serve one another, you are submitting yourself to God. God himself, as Peter will say later on in the other parts of the epistle, he is the chief shepherd of his people. ultimately he is calling the shot. And he's delivering his people like the children of Israel. He took them through the desert. While the opposition was from without, but he was also accomplishing a purpose from within. He said, I took you through the desert to humble you, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that while the enemy is trying to do all he can, but God in his providence is also at work in the midst of his people. So as we submit to him, submitting to our leaders, loving one another, serving one another, we are submitting to him. And whatever the problem and the challenge is, Peter is saying, cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Don't rail against God. Don't be angry at God. Even though you will not say it, but our attitude shows that we are angry at God. There's a quick story of a friend of ours who mother got terminally ill, and they took her to the hospital and put in hospice that you're not going to make it. But this lady was so angry at God, she talked to her lawyer and said, in fact, the people who are in charge of the hospital, I don't want the chaplain coming in here. When I die, I don't want to hear anything about God at my funeral. I don't want anything to do with God. Because she was so disappointed and hurt by God. She grew up in the Bible Belt, but something along the way made her to get disillusioned or disappointed with God. Now, as people who subscribe to Calvinism, we know that those who are in Christ, they are secure in Christ. The perseverance of the saints, nothing can separate from God's love. If you're already in, you can never really get out. We know that. But we also know of so many stories of where, say, pastors are giving up the pastoral ministry. People are just giving up. And so this is not what I signed up for. People are so discouraged in their walk. In a very practical way, people are disappointed, if I was put it that way, with God. Just don't fully know how he operates. But Peter is saying, cast all your cares on God. He cares for you. He will deliver you. He will ultimately deliver you. But even now, he will care for you. He will take care of you. Today, as a church, as a body of believers, God has called us in the society we live in, first in the relationship with him, to be his special people, walking with him, enjoying our fellowship with him, but he has also called us to declare the excellency of God. There's always that pressure from the outside. There's always that pressure from within. But God, his grace, has given us people, leaders, you and myself, to lead his people spiritually. Our authority comes from his word. God has given us to one another. Our priority is the kingdom, God's people, the church. That's our life. It's not the church that we would have chosen ourselves. They are not the people we would have called. They are not the people normally we would have met. They are not the people normally want to pull with. They are not the people normally want to sit and talk with. But they were chosen by God just like you and myself were chosen. God is coming back for us, for them, for you and myself. The same Spirit is uniting all of us to the one God. But more especially, God is using us to declare the wondrous gospel of Jesus Christ to the world around us. While the world around us is trying to squeeze out the gospel, God is calling us to proclaim it. The darker the night, the brighter the gospel of Jesus Christ. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. God will forgive. God loves in Jesus Christ. No matter what your sin is, God is willing to pardon you in Jesus Christ. God loves you in Jesus Christ. No matter the darkness. For in the gospel of Jesus Christ, a righteousness from God has been revealed. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from the presence of sin. Salvation ultimately from the presence of sin, but salvation from the power of sin. Salvation from the penalty of sin. And this gospel is given to us. Our TAs, as students, as people who will be leading God's people, we have to proclaim the gospel to our society. But we start by exercising the leadership authority God has given us among his people, by building up the body of believers, guiding and leading and encouraging them, and by submitting to God himself, who is the Lord of his church. Looking forward to the ultimate return and recreation of all things in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. I thank you, Father, for your love, your great love for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you are gone before us and you are in our midst. You are not only the example of humility, but you are the Lord of the church, the one who laid down his very life because his love for his people. Let this love express itself amongst us. Let this love be expressed in the people that we call to lead us. We know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, being guided by your word, your church cannot fail. We proclaim the excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.